School PR professionals spend a few weeks a year participating in professional development and networking, if they're lucky. We use this time to connect through conversation and shared experiences. Conversation is one of the best parts of our jobs, but then we go back to our daily work and the time for connection begins to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. During our time together, our goal is to continue a sense of collaboration and shared conversation throughout the whole year.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and times of celebration and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast gives us the chance to get to know each other better by sharing our passions about furthering education one story at a time.
Whether you are listening on your morning commute or winding down after work, we are so glad you're here and look forward to learning alongside you today.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name is Justin Deering, and I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. On today's show, we have Ben Pankinen from Class Intercom joining us to talk about a transition he is making in his life to fatherhood and what that has done to his thoughts on content, school PR, and communications as a whole. We're going to spend some time talking about content that is distinctly human. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation as much as I did, and we're glad you're here.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill at Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, analytics, and archival easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact me or the rest of our team at classintercom.com.
All right. Welcome in, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of School PR Happy Hour. Today's conversation is a fun one. I'm excited to have my good friend Ben from Class Intercom here with me today. We are going to talk about a new role he's taken on recently. We're going to talk a little bit about a workshop that Class Intercom hosted, and we're going to get a little into AI a little bit today from a different angle. So before we go any further, Ben, what's up? Thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming in today. It's good to see you, friend.
Man, Justin, it's so good to see you. I'm awake today. Got some good sleep last night. That's been a rare occasion at my house, but no, it's been great to be friends for a long time, and I know you've sort of welcomed me or have been initiating me into a new club, so appreciate that too, Justin.
Yeah, if you listened to, I guess, two episodes ago during my tag off, I, you know, said congratulations to my friend Ben. He has joined an exclusive club.
It was elusive for me for a long time. So, also true.
The elusive, exclusive club of being a girl dad. Well, I guess just over a month ago, you welcomed a beautiful, I have a picture of her right here on my desk from the card you sent me. A beautiful little girl into your family. So tell me what it's like a month in. I don't even remember that because it's been 10 years for me.
Man, yeah, Aurora's awesome. She goes by Ari at our house. She's perfect, and you know, we're feeding her a ton, and she's got some good gains. So we're pretty excited about headed into month two. But no, so many things to learn, and you know, we were talking a little bit before we got started about just like what is human and like what is, you know, content and all those things. And I'm like, you know, I'm getting a lot of extra time, like sort of sitting down, like staring into this face being like, what is it that like sort of, you know, incredibly unique about this experience and staring into this face. And also she's absolutely the cutest, but like, you know, I always like criticized other parents that would say that, but you know, you're sort of sitting here like, I don't know. There's something distinctly human about this. Also, she kind of looks like me, which feels really narcissistic to be like,
oh yeah,
I love her because she looks like me. She like, you know, and you're like, actually, yeah, she kind of looks like her mom too, but yeah, it's wild.
So yeah, the first couple months of Kinley's life, I mean, it was, you couldn't look at her and be like, that is obviously Justin Deering's kid. Cause the head's huge, looks the same, like we just, yeah. and looks just like me, but now she's older, grown a little bit, doesn't look like me at all. There's people who look at her and say, I don't see you at all. I was like, thanks. That's awesome. But I remember distinctly that first month because Katie took obviously her maternity leave. Then we had some, my mom and Katie's dad helping out. But every Friday I took off work from spring break till the end of the school year. And I was still in the classroom teaching. So every Friday it was just me and her. And there was many a day where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but hey, she's alive. So we're doing good there. But I remember sitting with her on days like that, watching TV or looking at my phone, because even, you know, Twitter at that time or whatever, Facebook, and thinking, man, there is, you know, we wrap ourselves around this identity a lot on social media, and there's so much more. And I'm holding a 8-pound version of why it's important to put my phone down every once in a while. And it put a lot of things into perspective. So I know you work with social media every day. You're working on content and stuff like that. What have you noticed just in your month as a girl dad? And obviously the experience is it's deep, you know, 1 month in. What are you noticing when you think about like content and when you think about like how wrapped up into that the world is right now? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think for us, you know, we've been pretty vocal about our story, and you know, my wife and I are, you know, I'm an old dad, right? And so that wasn't by design, and so that was a long time coming for us, and so, you know, one of the things that happens when that sort of thing happens, like whatever it is in life that you're sort of like thought was kind of like the way it was going to work out, and then all of a sudden it's completely the opposite, right? You have this identity thing that sort of flips, and in my case it flipped like big time, right? So it was like we were walking Ari this last weekend, and I made the joke because we were like, I wonder what people are thinking as they're like driving by us in our neighborhood, like seeing us walk in this, you know, baby carriage down the street. And I made the joke to my wife. I was like, well, they probably like are thinking, oh, look at that newlywed couple that they probably just, you know, got married and moved into the neighborhood 14 years ago. And like we have like these kind of like funny moments. But like when you have big moments of shifting, right, of a role or responsibility, like all of a sudden, like how you see yourself or how other people see you, like flips dramatically, right? Like I got really used to sort of shedding the questions that people would ask me about, hey, are you, you know, how are the kids? And I'd be like, well, I don't have any kids. But you know, now all of a sudden, like I'm on a podcast talking about this, what is distinctly human here. And I think, so I think for all of us as content creators, like it provides this sort of example, right? Of like, all of a sudden, like the way you saw content, you know, for me 5.5 weeks ago is fundamentally different than the way I see some of that same content today, now that I'm in that role. And I think for us in schools, when we think about marketing to parents, is somebody who was really passionate about helping young people, but like I didn't have a young person at home. That's a different transition too. And it sort of gives you that different lens that's like, hey, I love the work that I got to invest in a lot of young people as content creators, but you know, I've sort of got case number one here at home. And so I think there's a lot of ways that I've sort of seen that content. And of course the algorithms start to trick you too and have all of these, you know, funny different memes.
So interesting you said that. I remember, you know, I worked in the school district. I taught before Kinley was born. I'd already made the transition to school PR. Yeah. And I remember the day I went back after my week off because I took 5 days off and then went back so that Katie could stay home. Then we could alternate later in the year. And I remember going back in that day and my boss sitting me down and being like, hey, your world just changed. And every decision you make now just changed because your kid lives in this district. And the decisions we make and the way we communicate and what this district is moving forward, when you're making decisions, I'm excited to watch you now have a different mindset of I'm making decisions that affect my own child, and use that mindset to realize you're affecting everyone's child. It was, and I, that has stuck with me ever since then, that like, it was a moment where it did change. Like you said, your idea of content 5.5 weeks ago is drastically different than it is today. And it's really cool that big moments like that, whether it's children, job shift. I mean, we had a conversation a couple months ago on y'all's podcast about me shifting jobs and how that changed my whole outlook on a ton of things. And I just love these pivotal moments and how they can, even at 41 years old for me, I can still learn something new in a pivotal moment like that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you think of, I've had a lot of moments where I'm like, I'm learning a lot of things, right? And I'm like, here's this little kid, right, who's learning, has to learn everything in the world. And I'm sort of looking down and going, I don't know which one of us is learning more in this moment, right? And I think there's, like, anytime we can kind of have that out-of-body experience and sort of look at life in that way, it sort of propels our content in different ways. And, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, I find myself, yeah, I'm taking a ridiculous number of photos of this, like, literally the cutest baby ever. But also, you know, I'm also finding myself as a content creator thinking deeply about some of the other issues that surround it, right? And so it gives you that centering to kind of think about, hey, how am I supporting my friends who we sort of had gravitated later in life to that didn't have kids? And how am I supporting them? And how does that shift and change? And how do I help support people in all of these different walks? And so, so while this is sort of like the thing that's talked about most at our house and in my world, it's also the area where you sort of go, hey, there's a lot that I've learned in 40 plus years of life that we sort of are bringing to this table.
Yeah. I mean, I think that sums it up exactly. And I know we in our work that we do and you do as well, we're trying to do what's best for students at all time. And, you know, decisions we make, whether it's for our own students, like that live in our house or the students in our district. I've always said, if, you know, if the decision is what's right for kids, it's what's right. And one of the biggest things I have always, even when I was a teacher, that was my favorite thing about being a teacher in a video broadcasting class, is I was teaching kids how to tell their own story. Yeah. And to have a voice. And then I go into school PR and brought that with me. And I know that's one of the big things for Class Intercom. That's one of the big things that y'all do, is y'all really promote student voice and students telling the stories of the school. And you recently had your content generation workshop and you brought in students and did some training. I'd love to hear about the workshop, but also I'd love to hear about what you saw with these kids, because I mean, I think the lyric is the kids are going to be okay. And I think it really shows they are when you get around kids like this. I've been in a couple focus groups lately and I'm like, as wild as everything outside is, the kids are okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's wild. So we, this is really about the fourth year that we've done this content generation workshop, and it moved from what was, something we built in pandemic, and said, hey, we want to kind of work with, highlight some of these stories, of students, and, you know, kind of do that virtually, to then when we were able to kind of get back in person, we've really invited, began from schools that were a drivable distance for us, you know, so a couple states, right? And so they would drive in for the day and kind of do this, to now we launched this year remote sites. And so, you know, we have remote sites all over. I know that one of them just got highlighted in Illinois in some of the NSPRA publications. But also, you know, what we've had with that whole experience with the Content Gen Workshop is a one-day focused event that really highlights how we work with students. And so what you do get to see on our website is you do get to see some of the presenters who talked to students. And you know, so I did a talk on juxtaposition, and we sort of, you know, analyze how we think about content differently when we pair two things that are dissimilar. We had a farmer come on who's got about 1 million followers on TikTok and really talked about the business that he moved into in being a content creator from a farmer. How does he use that expertise to talk about farming and moves it into his content creation? It's also really funny. Noah's fantastic. You know, we had an Emmy award-winning female broadcaster who just ran a story about the history of 50 years of Title IX, and started talking about being, you know, a female journalist in a sports world where she predominantly covers football and all of those types of experiences. And Aaron's got a high amount of emotion. And my friend Kristen talked about storytelling and how we really build that. She helps nonprofits do storytelling and had just published a book, and does a phenomenal job of breaking down the emotion that you have in the storytelling. So there's a lot of like subject matter expertise, but like what's really fun for me about the Content Gen Workshop that we built into it was, hey, how do we get ourselves around students who are fundamentally doing this at Class Intercom schools and help them for us to learn from them and from them to learn to from us and get them just workshopping content. So, you know, last year was one of the first years that we really introduced these quick hit challenges where we would sort of break down a table of 10 and say, all right, your job is to create this type of content. And sometimes we were a little fictional or made up, but we sort of set down one of those exercises. And then, you know, what's fun for me is like I'm gathering cameras and like I'm recording right along with them trying to like develop content. And it's super humbling because you've got students who are moving faster than you are and asking really intelligent questions. And they're asking questions about things like brand. And, you know, I won't forget my high school rival was there. So my rival high school, they're fantastic content creators at their school. They have a fantastic team, and I'm so backed by their, like, I was kind of running the microphone at having them ask questions of some of our keynotes, and they ask one of the keynotes, hey, we want to understand how you developed your presentation that was so on brand. You've got a very specific vision for what you look like and how you represent yourself, and it's incredibly consistent from your TikTok videos to your PowerPoint presentation to how you communicated about it. And I'm thinking, this is a high school student who really fundamentally understands brand and those exercises. But since they've been doing that program for a couple of years, they get it, right? Like they know that Noah's distinctly human. He didn't sort of like mail it in and have AI generate some random slides and call it good. Like it really is who he is, and it's emotional. And now you have students who are recognizing brand and those types of questions. It's phenomenal.
Hi friends, this is Kara Zachney and I'm a design specialist for CISO Communications. We are so excited to be a part of the School PR Happy Hour family, and we hope you learn as much from this show as we do. My role at CISO is to help our clients with their visual presence. It doesn't matter if we're working on a print mailer for an enrollment marketing campaign, custom animations for a referendum video, elements to help your website pop, or even creating a completely new visual brand for your favorite school PR podcast. We love working through the creative process and making your brand stand out. We have a talented team of creative pros who are eager to walk alongside you and help you in any way possible. At CISO Communications, we partner with districts to think about their communications strategically. If your school or district is interested in learning more about how we can work together, we would love to connect with you. CISO Communications is a division of CISO, which stands for Center for Effective School Operations, which also supports schools with transportation, HR, finance, and technology. Visit thecso.com and connect with us today, and be sure to follow us on our social channels at CISOComs. Let us help you rethink possible.
We just recently did an interview. It's not an interview. Me and Bob had a conversation about branding and how you come up with the archetypes and what that leads to. And we're probably going to have to come back and do a round two in the second half of the season, because we honestly could have talked for 3 hours and we cut it off at an hour because we like to keep this show relatively short. But I find it fascinating that the kids were noticing that. But at the same time, I think this generation of high school age students and early college students are very observant to that and very aware of, you know, is where it colors words you use. I think this is the generation we have right now that is very aware of the power of words. And I think it's because what they've lived through, the things that they've had, you know, what they've gone through even in the last 4 years with the pandemic and learning the value of these words and look and feel, and maybe the first generation in a while that's super like aware of their emotions and able to articulate it. And I think that that is one of the coolest things about giving students a voice in our work in school PR and handing the reins over at times or having them be content creators. They are going to see it and show it and tell it in a way we don't even think about because they live that different life, that different generation. They see it differently every day. And that's what I mean, when we first started working together, when I was in Carroll ISD, that was my favorite thing, is I literally just said, here's the Instagram, have fun. And it blew up. And it was because it was their story. It was their life. I'm not cool enough to know what they know. And I just think it's fascinating that the kid literally was just like, talk about your brand and why is it green? or why is everything look the same? And that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they got it, and they were comparing it to other slides, right? Like, and they were comparing it to other presenters that they'd seen, and they're like seeing that consistency as being important because it emphasized who he was, and I think that's fantastic. You know, one of the other presenters, a guy I've known for years, Eric Miller, he runs a brand called Storyhook, and he does a lot of his own content creation. So he's bringing like gimbals and fancy, you know, video gear to the table. And part of what he was trying to show was, hey, if you know that that you can shoot video like you would in a Hollywood studio, like if you know how that's filmed, you can do it on an iPhone at a similar quality, a similar aesthetic. If you know, like, that, hey, if I'm sliding this in a slider, right, which is what we use in video to show you how I'm sliding and moving that content, he'd sort of like show you a technique, and then he'd be like, you could do that with your iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. Here's how you do that, right? And so what you had is like these content creators that just need to be exposed to some of these technologies, right? They need to start to watch that same video that they've seen from a major brand and recognize the reason it has really high quality isn't necessarily because it's a $100,000 camera. It's also just because the person behind the camera knows that they can slide the camera off to the side and it looks really good. And so those are really fun experiences because they start to pop with a student really quickly, where they're like, yeah, I can now, because I've got a phone and a camera in my pocket, like I know that I could get that type of a look. You know, I might not be able to afford those fancy cameras, but right, there's so much I can do. And so when schools are recognizing that, hey, we can get students who are actually paying attention and putting more diligence into that work ethic, it does a few things that are really fundamentally quirky, right? Like one of those is you start to get some of these views that you're like, hey, I never would have probably taken the time to video it like you just did, because they're doing it and they're trying to really level up their game. But the other thing that happens is they start to have this point of view shift that, you know, just like my point of view shift of, you know, sort of moving different roles, is like when you assign a young person the ability to create content for someone other than themselves, all of a sudden it moves from them thinking about it as like, hey, I need to take this selfie or this type of activity, which is often what social media gets criticized for, to all of a sudden they look at it and say, hey, now I become a brand. Yep. Like now I have to create it from this other perspective. And so what's super interesting about that is they oftentimes the first moment they will freeze, because they'll go, what? I mean, I know how to create social media content, but like, it's not about me. And you're like, yeah, like that's the point. Right. And now all of a sudden what happens is, you know, Jill's got some fantastic research on this, Dr. Jill from our team, where she says, you know, like once someone's able to create content that's not about themselves and they're forced into that scenario, you have a student that comes back to you and they'll verbalize it in a way that they'll say, hey, what this started to teach me is how I create my own content was not very thoughtful. And it starts to be reflective, right? Which is exactly what digital citizenship's built to be all about.
Right.
But also we're harnessing it for this power of the brand of your school, which then becomes incredibly authentic because we've shifted that point of view from, you know, someone who didn't have this role to now having this role, right? Like, and it just becomes an incredible experience.
I think it's, you, like you said, you equip the kids with, whether it's the $100,000 camera or their pocket, you know, they have the iPhone or whatever it is, yeah, in their pocket. But also it sounds like in this moment when you're working with these students, they have that aha moment. So I've been presenting a lot lately, and writing those presentations, we always try to like align with alliteration just because it's easier to remember things. So I think you're like equipping them, you're encouraging them to take a step, and then you're empowering them. And I think that's not just your workshop. That is school PR folks that are handing over the reins and helping kids create content for them and teach. You're empowering them to tell a story outside of their own. But at the same time, like you said, you're opening up a view for them to be like, I can tell my story in such a thoughtful and different way now that my eyes have been opened to telling the stories of others.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when you look at the whole picture, right, when we start talking about access and inclusion and things like that, right, that we want all of those things to happen, right? And, you know, the reason we ended up in this industry building this software, right, was partly because we saw that, hey, if we can give them that access and inclusion if we have the proper controls in place, right? And right. If we don't have to give up control, but we can give access, that's an incredibly motivating experience. And now, you know, in the last year, you know, we're coming up on a year of ChatGPT, right? So we're coming up on this year where we're starting to see floods of content into the social media space that is quite honestly garbage AI. Mm-hmm. like it's garbage content. It's there's a lot of that that's happening, and it's promoting this distrust in it. Now, I've logged into ChatGPT right now in my browser, and I use a lot of AI tools. But what we have to think about is that, like, what is distinctly human, me sitting staring into the face of my new daughter, is distinctly human. What we create is content that is emotionally engaging and wires us and motivates us and gets us moving forward is distinctly human. And that becomes such an opportunity when we have the right perspective. So that point of view, if it's now student generated, it becomes human in a way that I couldn't make it that human.
Right. And I mean, thinking about, like you said, we're coming up on this year anniversary of the big launch and it being the most viral thing in the world for like 8 weeks. Like, that's all you heard about was, you know, I played with it for the first time when my wife came home and said, these kids at school are using this thing. Can you tell me what it is? Because I'm the tech guy, I guess. And I got in and did one thing. I was like, I'll tell you what it is. It's amazing. Because this is not, you know, I'm a visual person. I write for video and write for podcasting and things like that. So it was a great first draft for me, and then humanizing it after that. But I do agree that as we've gone further into this, I can get on Twitter or X and look at it and be like, oh, that's ChatGPT with no edits, because it's five emojis and random hashtags. And it's just someone who said, give me content for the next 10 days, copy, paste, schedule. And there is, I love the wording distinctly human when it comes to telling our stories, because we can fall in the rut of tomorrow's Veterans Day, you don't have school, next 2 weeks from now, Thanksgiving break. And we can we can see districts that, you know, they'll tell the story, and I'm doing air quotes for people listening, they'll tell the story of the kids that went to a competition and won. And the story literally is, our students went to BPA and got second place. There is so much more to that story than just that. And taking that, find a kid who's going to that competition and let them tell the story from their point of view. And you've got the human aspect of that story that we can't tell. So I when you said it in pre-show, I wrote it down and I just wrote it down again. I absolutely love the wording distinctly human, because it's exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah. You know, when we think of our roles in school PR, right? Like part of our role is finding these moments to show, right, what a student is and what they're learning and how that's progressing, right? Like that whole process is distinctly human. If it's not, the fundamental way we train an AI bot is kind of similar. We expose it to experiences, and then it interprets those experiences through text and other examples, and we train it, right? But there's some missing components, because it's not distinctly human, right? Like so it's, It doesn't feel what we feel, right? It's incapable of feeling emotion. It can talk about emotion and it can describe it, but it doesn't feel it, right? So like one of my favorite shows is a YouTube show called The Hot Ones. Do you watch it? Yeah.
I saw your version of it.
Yeah. So I did this a couple months ago. One of our team members has been harassing me for about a year to do the interview. If you're not familiar with the show, it's a YouTube series, and they interview A-listers. So in this case, definitely not an A-lister. But my friend and our product manager, Anthony, is interviewing me as we eat, just like the show, 10 wings, moving from I'll start with like a honey barbecue style, right? If I'm at Buffalo Wild Wings, mm-hmm. all the way up to what is 2.6 million Scoville units. So a Serrano pepper is like 10,000 Scoville units, right? So by the time you are ramping up and he's asking me questions that start to get distinctly more difficult as you're moving up to 10 wings. As an interviewee, I had watched the show and I'm like, I'm reaching a spot at about wing 7 where I'm like, I don't know what I'm answering, but I'm in pain and I know I need to press on. And all of a sudden, like your mind's playing this game on you, but you start to be just distinctly human, right? Like I'm in pain in this experience, which is part of why it becomes a really interesting interview. And Sean, who does the Real Hot Ones show, just does a fantastic job of interview questions that are really well thought out. And I love it for its interview capacity, but I also love it because it points at what is distinctly human, is that it's exposing my pain. it's exposing my sort of insecurities as I'm asking a question. And it forces us to think about what is distinctly human if we're thinking about that whole realm or landscape. Like you can't stage that in AI.
All right, friends, it's time for another My PR story. We hope you enjoyed today's story about how Nidia Natividad got into school PR.
I'm Nidia Natividad. I am the Director of Media and Communications for Pecos Barstow Toya ISD. That is a mouthful. And I originally got into school PR fresh off from college. I am born and raised in my district, so I am a homegrown kid. My district provided dual credit courses when I was in high school. So I was able to graduate college 3 years early, and then my college offered me an assistantship and into the graduate program, and I got my master's in 4 years. So when I would have been getting my bachelor's, I actually graduated with the master's. And while I was in college, I studied journalism. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, if I was going to go into the industry. And in my first year of grad school, this position opened up here at my hometown, in my hometown, at the hometown district. And I was like, that is such a cool job to be able to work with kids, tell good stories, communicate with my local people. I would love to have a job like that, but it is totally not going to be open by the time I finish grad school. And then sure enough, 3 months as I'm job hunting, trying to find a job fresh out of college, this position opened up. I immediately applied, and I'm, by the grace of God, I am here working for Pecos Barstow Toya ISD.
I was reading tips online, and they're like, okay, write the first draft and then type add empathy and see what it comes out with. And okay, it changed a few words to be a little softer. I am all for, and I think you would agree, you'd say the same thing. I use AI a lot, but it's never the final product, because if it's writer's block, or if it's even with some of the videos that I work on, I type out my description. What would ChatGPT or whatever AI tool do in this situation? And get some, it just gets your creativity going again when you're blocked. But it isn't human at all. It's literally a computer. It yes. is literally a computer helping you do your work. It is a useful tool in school PR, but it does remove the human aspect. And that's the way, as we are shifting into this new marketplace of schools are all competitive. It's a competitive marketplace for students, for teachers. Texas is going through its own thing in the legislature right now to figure out if we're going to do vouchers or not. So everybody's having to have a mind shift of, we have to be a marketing agency as well, and we have to show people why they want to come to our schools, because it's competitive. And the only way to do that is through the heart.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be engaging in the emotion, the feelings, right? Like side. But also what we've seen is, if I see myself as a content creator, school PR professional, that has to create every bit of content for my school or my school district, I end up with a very singular focus. And then I end up, I end up having to use tools like ChatGPT to the extreme, just because I have so much content to get out. And instead of saying, hey, we've got these distinctly human creatures in our school and in our school district who tell a very unique story, and they will surprise you at the creativity that they will come out, and they will start to make videos and sketches. And by the way, our whole process is to teach them these things, is to how to learn to create content like that and how to learn other life skills. So when we think of the cross-curricular opportunities with students to be able to say, hey, we're learning different vocabulary or something. Like I was working with a team a couple years ago, and they were trying to promote their basketball event for that Friday night. And it was so fun because they literally were stuck on, hey, we've got this big game coming up, and we play a high school in the town of Centennial. And I was like, okay. And this is a basketball event. Yes. Like, how many points are you going to put up on Centennial, right? Like, and they didn't know the language. They didn't know what Centennial meant.
Right.
And so I was like, we've got an emoji for this. We've got all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can essentially address that you're going to put up 100 on Centennial, right, without it being mean. It's a basketball game, and this is a rivalry match for you. And so there's just those little subtle moments that it might be language that all of a sudden they start to say, well, maybe I do need to go read things that help me to have better language skills. Maybe I need to watch film for its merit in art, because I'm trying to make my own content, you know, over here. And I need more art in my life, right?
Like
there's a lot of those types of things that, you know, we get to start to learn as students. And I think that's what makes it a lot of fun.
Well, obviously there's power in tapping into the humans that walk your halls. We've talked about it. I mean, I think this is the third or fourth time we've had a conversation similar to this.
Yeah.
I think last time we talked about Threads, and that's obviously exploded and still going real well. I haven't really been on much, but I know there's still a little bit of a network over there that's a little different than it hadn't taken off in the marketing world as much as I think they thought, but it could still do that. But I've probably asked you this question twice before, but I think it's important as technology changes, as time changes. If there's someone listening who's not tapping into those little humans walking around their classrooms yet, and you could tell them, hey, here's two things, three things to get started in tapping into your students and getting your students on board as your storytellers, what kind of advice would you give to our listeners who think it's a good idea but are a little nervous to jump into that deep end of the pool?
Yeah. I mean, one, you can do it without giving up control. I mean, you know, everything we do is role-based. So like that's part of it. But like, so once you have that confidence, right, then it's about a playbook. We've created tons of playbooks for this. But the playbook starts with identifying students, right? Like we at first have to identify some students that can help tell that story. And so if the first part's identifying students, the second part is realizing that if you still have control in the situation of the content before it gets published, right? If you still have that control, you don't have to identify just A students. In fact, sometimes your A students really struggle to make great content, because sometimes they don't want to mimic that emotion and that grit. They're looking for mimicking the adult. And so you need some dissent and friction in that engagement. And so sometimes these students who are B and C students become really fantastic content creators for your school. And they create the kind of content and grit that you want in your school. And it starts to develop this groundswell of people who are caring about your school, not because they're the star on the field, but because they're highlighting the person who didn't make it on the field. And that becomes a really foundational element, because when we're talking about, like you said, a competitive environment and moving into, you know, a competitive environment for students, we want to be highlighting the students who are overlooked, right? We want to highlight how they have a place in your school. And when you're picking not necessarily the quarterback, who, by the way, is a terrible content creator because he's on the field at the time, but also we're highlighting the people that say, hey, I want you to see what's happening behind the scenes. I want you to see the relationship between teachers and students. I want you to see this up close, and you start challenging students to do that. So you identify students that have that propensity to be creative, or they want to do it, but also not necessarily the A students.
That's awesome. That's great advice. And that was my favorite thing in my time in Carroll, was when we would unleash our student interns at a football game, and their role was, I don't want a single photo or video of anything on the field.
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of that from the Jumbotron. Don't worry about football. Tell me every other story in the stands. And one time, one kid just decided all they were going to do was go around and take pictures of little kids dressed up and playing with pom-poms. And we had, the next day, we had a social media post that was 15 rich photos of little kids, whether they're in their little cheerleading outfit or in their football jersey with a helmet on. And I'm talking like pre-K and kinder, nothing older than that. And it was future Dragons watching the game. And that was simply the post, but it was one of the most accepted posts and one of our top ranking, most engaging posts. Because obviously parents that see their kid tag the parents, but also the future's rich here. It's going to be awesome, but whatever that is. So that is great. And I loved having the kids that weren't, like you said, weren't. I always went to principals and said, hey, I need 5 kids for an internship. Don't send me the top 5 you're already thinking of. Yeah. Because those kids are doing everything. Those kids are super involved, and we want to tell their story. But give me some of those kids that you're like, hey, that's a creative kid. That's a kid who may have a story to tell. Someone just needs to tap into it. And we elevated our storytelling as a district because of making that move right there, of going and find the simple thing of, don't send me the 5 you're already thinking of. Find me 5 more. And that worked, and we loved it. So. And this is exactly what I was hoping for when we said, hey, let's just turn it on and see what we talk about.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And like we talked about, you know, what is human is part of that, right? Like, there's not necessarily a playbook, but you have to take some twists and turns and chances. But that doesn't mean we can't teach students like what makes great content, right? Or some of the principles behind it. And they still need the raw language. They still need the creativity. They need to know math to be able to be great content creators. Well, some math.
Yeah. For me, it's just 24, because it's 24 frames. That's all I think.
Oh, there you go.
So, all right. Well, Ben, if people are listening and they're like, hey, I'm interested in hearing more about A, what Class Intercom does, or B, just picking your brain about what is distinctly human, or checking to make sure you're getting enough sleep and enough coffee, because obviously you're busy outside of work too. How can they go about getting a hold of you and getting in contact with you?
Yeah, I'd love to have you check in with what we're doing at classintercom.com. But, you know, hit me up anytime. I'm at Ben Pankinen on all the places, and always happy to chat about this stuff. And, I might send you a little kid photo too.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you jumping on, hanging out with me today. And obviously, I'm super pumped to watch you and Amber just dive headfirst into this parenting thing. And it's the coolest job I've ever had. I love it. And I look forward to every random thing that happens. I mean, today they just came out with the Inside Out 2 trailer, and I'm looking at it going, oh my gosh, that is my life. So thank you for being my buddy. Congratulations on adding a beautiful little kiddo to the family. And I, like I said, I'm pumped to watch y'all just pairing up.
Thanks, Justin. Great to be with you, man.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour. Again, I want to say congratulations to Ben and Amber on the arrival of their beautiful new daughter. And I want to thank Ben for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down with me and talk about how to be distinctly human when we are creating content. It's official. We've opened up the second half of the season to people who want to take part in my PR story. So if you're interested, hit us up on Twitter or X, whatever you're calling it these days, at SPR Happy Hour. We'd love to set up a time to hear your story, share your story, and introduce you to our favorite people, the school PR community. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a happy holidays. We will be back for one more episode before we go on hiatus. And then we're going to take a little time with our family. And I'm looking forward to the next episode. I do know that Becca has a very important guest planned. So thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting us. And until next time,
Let's go out there and try to be a little better at our jobs every day.